blessed be the rock of my salvation. Yes, the Lord liveth. Blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. Oh, who will magnify my Lord? Yes, he is worthy to be praised. For I'm gonna magnify my Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, hallelujah, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. One more time. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Brother Mike.
I'm more than a conqueror. Yes, all things work together for my good.
Yes.
Why? Because I'm born again.
Amen.
I believe the message.
Yes.
I agree with every word that comes forth from the mouth of God.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, I was reading Hebrews chapter 7 the other day.
Yeah.
And a verse stood out. I've never, well, I've probably seen it, but not like this time. This chapter was talking about Melchizedek. He said Melchizedek visited Abraham in the loins of his father.
Okay. Right. Yeah, right.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
I know I've read it. Kind of blew me away.
Wow.
And then I started thinking, well, God must have visited me when I was in the womb of my mother.
Sure.
He knew me. He put a seed in me when I was born. I got the inside teacher.
Amen.
I couldn't agree with this if I didn't.
I know, right?
You know, if I didn't agree with this, you think I'd be crazy enough to sit under this?
No.
That wouldn't be any fun. I could be out there having fun with the sinners, you know,
sure.
With the unbelievers.
Amen.
I don't know why I would sit in here. It just don't make sense. And, you know, I just wanted to, I haven't testified for a while, and God has been so good to me. And, you know, I went through a couple of drive-thrus of my favorite junk food places. And I've had four different people buy my meals.
How about that?
And I said, wow, Lord, they really want to go to heaven. I don't know who they are, but I will someday.
Oh, yeah.
The lady at the window said, hey, the person in front of you bought your meal.
Yeah.
And that happened to me four different times now.
How about
so I just want to praise him.
Amen. 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 Let's sing a song. Let's sing a, oh, God bless you, sis. Come on down. Come on down. Amen. Amen. That's running with patience.
And the reason why I did it is because before I came here, I couldn't walk. I was at home and I was like, my knees were on fire. My feet, everything. And I was like, if I can come here and everything is healed one more time, I have to run this way up here and give him praise. Because it really doesn't matter. He got it. And he just letting us know, no matter what you go through, I got to just lean on me. You know, and I'm just so, so happy, so thankful. So many things have just such a blessing.
Yes.
in the midst of a storm. If that makes sense. If anybody knows, this bride knows that you can be in the middle of a storm and be blessed. You can be in the middle of the storm and dance. You can be in the middle of the storm and praise him. You know, so I'm like, I just love it. And I, and he said, even praise me in your iniquities.
Sure. Oh yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, that is powerful. He still wants the praise, no matter what you're going through. That he is the God of circumstances. He said, I will control everything. And I'm just so, so thankful for that.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that he saw before the foundation of the world, as the brother said, in the womb. And I'm just so, so thankful. I just can't give him enough praise for everything I've been through. Every up, down,
Amen.
Valley, creek, what, no matter what, because it made me who I am today to say, God, I'm so thankful. We're great going to Thanksgiving. I'm thankful he blessed my family. You know, what a testimony. You know, what a testimony. It could have been, one of my coworkers was talking about James today, and she was like, Michelle, that could have all been. I said, oh, yeah, we could have had a different type of Thanksgiving this year. But God saw fit that we can stand here today and praise him for what he had already done. It wasn't that he did it. He had already done it. And he just asked him for our faith to believe that he has already done it. You know, we don't have to go down in this life with our head hung down. We are victorious because he was victorious for us. He fought every battle for us. So do we believe he won?
Come on.
So why is our head hung down? If we are we the winners?
Yes.
We read the last end of the story. We win.
Amen.
So it's like, well, why are you sad when you know you won? It's like a football team. If they go in and they already know they won,
No matter
how many times they get knocked down, how many touchdowns they don't make, they was like, but at the end, we know we win. So why my head hung down? So I just want to thank him and praise him.
Amen.
Just want you guys to just want you guys to keep your keep all the families and everything and you know that happened at the shooting and everything like that in your prayers and stuff, and just keep them in your thoughts. You know we don't wish that, you know, anybody gets hurt or in any kind of mass shootings, but you know, Pastor preached about this just on Sunday. He said it doesn't even make the news unless it's over 6. You know, I'm really beginning to believe that every time the word comes forth across this pulpit, it changes the circumstances
Amen.
Of the world. We better know who we are. Every word that comes out of the mouthpiece of God is God.
Amen.
Deity, Brother Branham said, on your lips.
Amen.
We could call for a billion flies if we wanted, but that's not the focus right now. The focus is getting out of here, getting that last little bit that God needs, and getting out of here.
Yeah.
It's time to go. But you know, while I'm here, I'll still rejoice because you know, to live is Christ and die is gain. Brother, God bless you.
Speaking about that chaos that happened yesterday, Crystal and I were at that Walmart. But thank God we left way before that happened. But we were there. We don't normally go there, but we were there yesterday looking for something. And I just thank God. You know, I had no idea what was going on, but I just thank God for that. But the reason why I wanted to come up here, because I know last time I was testifying that I've had this thing burning on my heart, and I couldn't wait to get here.
Right,
Amen. Right.
Didn't happen the way this today. It didn't happen like that.
Right.
So what am I gonna do?
Yeah.
You know what am I gonna do?
Amen.
Amen. I found my way in here anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
Amen.
I overcame. You know, because I was thinking, you know, whatever you testify, that might come back. You know, God might actually test you on that to see what you're gonna do. You know. And that's not the first time that I noticed that I've said something and I'm thinking, God, okay, got to watch what you say. But no, I don't. Because, you know, I came running in here because I knew God is here. I brought him with me, but I know where there's at least two or three.
Amen.
You know, I know God is in here for sure. So I just thank God, you know, I got that push. Like Sister Spira said, I'll never forget that. She said, you've got to press.
Yes.
And you've got to, especially in in these days,
yes,
nothing short of that. I mean, that those 200 million demons that are been let loose just in this last day, they're looking for you. You know, and you've got to have that push in you to get here. This is the only refuge that I have, you know. I mean, out there, you know, it's just chaos, you know, and there's no sanity out there. The only place I can drop my guard and just relax is in here, because I know I'm going to hear from God.
Amen.
And I just thank God that I'm able to hear it and receive it. And just soak it in. Nothing else matters, you know. Whenever services, whenever those doors are open, I just want to be here, you know, and just be open to hear from God. Amen.
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 Bless you, sis.
I was thinking, I haven't testified in a while. You know, you talk about that. You got to stoke that fire.
Yeah.
You know, I was out in Germany, and then, you know, I was doing the tape room, and then there was dinner. You know, sometimes it sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
And, you know,
you
got to have a push. You got to push through. So I was like, I don't know what I'm going to say, but I know I'm going to put something in it today. You know, and I was thinking, I didn't get to hear much of Sunday, and I haven't got a chance to go back and listen to it because we were cooking. But, man, it was, you pushed that. It was so late. You know, like, it's that midnight hour, you know. And I was thinking, so some people, that might be scary. You know, and I'm living my life every day, knowing that any second, you know, my kids are like, I may not get to graduate. And I was like, you may not, you know, like, you're not wrong. You know, we talk about our vacations, we're planning ahead, but you may not get to do that, you know. And I was just thinking, thank God that I'm one of those. You know, I know what's going to happen. You know, there's always the two sides. There's the people who know and the people who don't know. And thank you, God, that I know.
Yes.
You know, and I was just, you know, you talk about being grateful. I mean, I'm thankful so much. For what I know. You know, I have a beautiful family and all those things, that's natural. But thank God for my soul and what I know and that rest I have. You know, and I just, like you say, when you come to church, every time the doors are open, I'm here, I want to be a part of it, I want to do what I can.
Amen.
If it's being in the tape room, putting up the words, I'll do what I keep saying tape room, that's how old I am. The sound room, you know. You know, I want to be a part of it, you know, and I just thank God so much that I know that I have the rest, and
praise
just
him.
Thank God for another year, you know, it's coming to the end. And I was thinking, you know, you talk about, have you testified yet, you know, at the end of every year. And there was a time when, oh my goodness, I haven't testified in a while. But not anymore, you know? I have a strong revelation.
Amen.
You can't, you can tell me, you got to be prepared, you got to know,
Amen.
That doesn't scare me anymore, you know? I know what I have.
Yes.
You know, you hear those messages and it used to scare me. And I was thinking too about you build on. When I was younger, when I first started listening, I was like, I have to help people, you know? Those people I meet, I have to, you know, stay in church. Because I was thinking about my friends, they would leave and I'm like, all those people you met, you lost them. You know, I know that they never had it, but that's what kept me. And that revelation that those people you go out and meet.
Right.
You know, when I was in Germany, I was away from Jeremiah. He was working, and I was meeting people. And it wasn't on Jeremiah's token that those people came. They came through me. You know, I met some people who were good to me. And you everywhere I go, people, they couldn't help. Somebody gave me some money for a... I couldn't even read the words. It's in a different language.
Right.
And this woman couldn't go out of her way enough to help me. And I was like, thank God I was there, you know?
Amen.
I was in another country, lost. I didn't know what was going on, just to meet this woman.
Right.
And then as soon as I met her, I was like, well, thank you, God. I'm glad I had to be put in that situation. You know, talk about every situation, the ups, the downs, all through it all. Thank God for using me. You know, and I just,
Amen.
Like I said, I didn't know what I wanted to say, but I just want to come and give God my all.
My all.
God bless you, Sister Christy.
I had to push myself up here, but I just wanted to say I am so thankful and very grateful for each and every one of you here. I mean, especially Pastor Moore, you have the guidance, and you, Jeremiah, Brother Jay. I mean, it's really helped me in this transition with my mother passing, get my dad settled to where he is, and selling the house. And I could truly say that, I mean, thankful for each and every one who's offered to help, and those who can't, just the prayers, it's like a bouquet of flowers for me right now. I mean, I appreciate it so much. And even selling the house, I mean, my parents built a house when I was in sixth grade, and I always thought something happens to them. You know, me and my sister always thought, we're going to move in that house. We're going to keep that house. And it didn't work out that way. And it's fine. And it wasn't meant to work out that way. But in it all, you know, just going through it, I heard a voice. I heard God's voice tell me, don't set your affections on the things of this earth.
Oh, amen.
Because He has a house and a mansion waiting for us.
Amen.
That can't compare to what's on this earth.
Oh, my.
So with my parents' house being sold, that's the way it was meant to be. Amen. I still have those memories, and amen, that's what carries me, because, I mean, the next day, the tornado or whatever can blow that house away. What would I have? Right. So I want to set my affections on what God wants me to, and those are the things up above, not on these material things of this earth. So once again, I thank each and every one of you for your help that you have given me, or going to give me, or want to give me and can. Thank you so very much again.
God bless you, Sister Christy. Go ahead, sis.
I forgot, if you don't get up when you first feel like you need to testify, that you'll try to get talked out of it. But I wanted to definitely say that it's a fantastic day to be here in the house. And no matter what the circumstance is, that God is the healer. God is the comforter in all situations. And I know that He is touching each and every one of us. And it might not be in the way that we're asking right away, but I've found that when I look at myself, He might be touching something else that's been ailing me that I didn't even know was a thing. And so I'm just going to keep standing on His word.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let me get the announcements out of the way. Thank you for everybody that showed up last Sunday. It was good fellowship, good service, good preaching. Everything was good. And December the 1st through the 4th, Pastor Moore and Brother Jeremiah, they're visiting San Diego. And then don't forget Sister Christie's play, A New Horizons, December 7th at 10:30. And then we got the New Year's service, December 31st. Dinner at 6, service at 8. Come. It's a play?
No, it's a
musical play?
Yeah, it's actually a concert. I'm playing in a concert. It's called New Horizons, and it's a concert band. And I'm not playing a solo. I'm with a big band. So it's just for a holiday. So if any of you can come out, that is, December 7th at 10:30 in the morning, and we'll have another one in the spring in the evening, so you're more than welcome to come out. And also in March, I'll be doing a small ensemble at University of Dayton, so I'll let you all know about that one when it comes up. Thank you.
Praise God. Brother, you'll be the last one.
I have to say that Thanksgiving is probably my favorite holiday, because it's not because it's turkey, I hate turkey, but because it's the one time a year where the rest of the nation kind of catches up with a glimpse of what we have every day. They stop and think, what do I have to be grateful for? Right. We know what we have to be grateful
Amen.
For and all the blessings we have, because we can see them. And it's just, it's good, because, you know, you get around your family, I know my family makes it a point to go ahead and find something to be grateful about. They get together. Half of them might be forced, you know, because of peer pressure, but it's not forced for us.
No.
And you might find yourself getting the spirit of the world on you, and, you know, people call it Turkey Day. No, it's Thanksgiving. And that's just as offensive as Santa Claus taking Jesus' spot in the manger, you know,
or an
Easter bunny, you know, for the cross. I'm not saying we need to fight the spirit of the world, because that's a losing battle.
That's right.
But we do need to fight the spirit in our households when these things come.
Amen. 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 God bless you, brother. Splendor of the King. In the Courses book, page 210, Key of A. We'll get them up. God bless you. Good to be here.
Amen.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, it trembles at his voice.
Above all names. name. All names. Hallelujah. Oh, so my heart will sing. My heart will sing. How great is our God. How great is our God. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. How great is our God. Oh, sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great, how great is our God. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to get together. The brother mentioned that this is a great opportunity to just give thanks. Every service, Lord, we were going to come and give thanks. And today, we're blessed to be here at this service, this present tense service. The message of the hour, our daily bread. Lord, bless the hearer and the speaker to get out of the way and just receive what you have to give. Lord, bless those that are traveling. Bless those that are sick. Lord, remember Sister Dawn. Lord, remember and just touch her body like we've asked, Lord. Lord, touch the messenger of the hour tonight so that way we can get the message across, Lord. Give the people what they need, what we came for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to be here. It is really, really good to be here. You talk about an opportunity to give thanks. This is a great opportunity to give thanks. Every service is a great opportunity to give thanks. You know, I can get teared up thinking about different things and how far God has brought us all. Amen. You know, see, I'm by nature, I'm not selfish. So I'll tell you that for people that don't know me. By nature, I'm not selfish. So when I tell you that I'm thankful for y'all, I really am. Like, I look at your life, I can see, I remember every blessing, every time you ever prayed. I remember every time you struggled and you said, Lord, help me with this. And I remember him answering it. And I remember you praying for me. You know, you talk about, you know, my mom coming up here saying, you know, Thanksgiving could be different. It could have been, but it ain't. Amen. So, you know, right? Like, so that's one of those things that you go, oh, it could have been this, but it ain't. Amen. Right? Like, it could have been sad, but it's not. Amen. It could be a dark world, but it's not. I could be walking in darkness, but I'm not. I could be misunderstood, but I'm not. I could not know God, but I do. Right? I could be sad, but I'm not. I'm happy. I'm blessed. God has been too good to us. Oh my goodness. I'd almost get upset with you if you're down. Because then I go to the other side. I say, where's the chains at on your hands? What's been holding you back? Why do you feel like you have the right to even be upset? Where do you even get that opinion from? Who taught you that? That's how I'd have to look at it. Who taught you that? Because it wasn't here. God never told me that I couldn't make it. God never told me I wasn't more than able. God never told me he put more on me than I could bear. God never told me I just was going to barely make it. God never even told me that there was a chance that I could fail. And the Bible says if it was possible, it would deceive the elect. That means it's not even possible. See, that's what I can throw on the devil when he says, well, you don't know this, you don't know that. I'm not supposed to then. That's what I throw right back in his face. You put that in your pipe and smoke on it. Oh, you don't know this, you don't know. That means I'm not supposed to then. That's right. That's what I tell the devil. Why? Because of the revelation, God's got to give you that revelation. He's the only revealer of the revelation. Amen. We've read Matthew 25 for thousands of years and did never see it that way. Amen. We read it Sunday and we're sitting there saying, oh my Lord, it really is the time. It's time to get out of here. Amen. You know, Pastor Moore, you preached that midnight cry. Oh my. Amen. My goodness. Do you know how late it is? I feel like, oh man, who's that? The brother in London. What's the black brother? What's his name? Peters. He sings that song, It's Raining. It's raining once again. That's how I feel. I feel like I'm Noah in the ark and I can hear the rain. It's like, it really is raining. I prayed for this. I thought about this. I prepared for this. I did year after year after year. I did everything I was supposed to do. I sat in the ark with quiet, being doubted by everybody around me. And now you hear the rain. Now you hear the rain. It's raining once again. Oh, my. Why can I say it like that? Because it is raining. Oh, my Lord. That midnight cry means it's a new day. when the midnight cry happens, you know, Pastor Moore, even when you said, he said, you know, that midnight cry's already happened. And it was just quiet in here. We were just sitting there thinking, that's it then. That's the rain. You know, Noah couldn't open the door. When it started raining, there was nothing you could do. There was, I'm sitting here on Sunday morning and I hear the rain. And I go, well, if the midnight cries happened, that means the virgins have already been separated. That means those that have the oil are already moving towards the bridegroom. And those that don't have the oil, they're going, well, we got to figure out a way to get some light. They're not even going in the right direction anymore. Oh, my. And you know what gets me even more excited? This is what I'm so thankful for, is I woke up with the light.
Amen.
See, if you see now, Sister Elise aged herself when she said tape room. But I remember my grandfather had one of those oil lamps. And if you don't know how an oil lamp works in this, there's so many types in there that we can get in. I'm not a typologist. The brother Peter said he is, but I'm not a typologist. But if you talk about the oil lamp, how it works is, for you younger kids, it's got a wick in there. It's kind of like a reverse candle. So it's got a wick in there, and that wick, you have to dip it in the oil. That oil is the light. You get that thing nice and wet and soaking, and it just has a reservoir of oil underneath it, and then you light it. And it just, that flame keeps pulling that oil up to it. And that's what makes a continuous light. So if, as long as you have oil, you got light. It'll never burn out the wick. That wick won't get dry. It won't. The fire just will burn right on. You're seeing fire. I'm never going to get dry. I got the oil. But what I love about Matthew 25, we can read it. It says that they woke up. They had the oil when they woke up. You couldn't go get the oil after you woke up. When the midnight cried, you couldn't go get oil. I'm a part of the body that when I laid down to sleep, to wait, they had already prepared. The oil was sitting there waiting. So I wake up and just trim my lamp and get ready to go. I woke up to the light. That's all I had to do. I didn't have to go get any oil. I didn't have to make sure I had oil. I had oil when I got up. And you say, what did that midnight cry do? It woke everybody up. Oh, my. Let's read that scripture one more time. And we can keep going on there. But I even love how even Brother Jeremiah said, when that midnight cry happened, that's a new day. It's no longer the seventh day. It's a new day. So at midnight, even the night, you know, it's a new day. And, you know, we're going to go to that Matthew 25 here. But I thought, my goodness, this is what I keep getting thankful for. That's why my message tonight is thank you, Lord, for the light. But I thought, there came a time. This is what gets me so choked up. There came a time that Sarah didn't laugh in her heart anymore. There was a time where she could see for herself that God had moved on her life.
Amen.
So before she couldn't see it. Abraham had to have the faith. Abraham had to believe. Abraham had to carry. But now I'm kind of like Sister Elise in Germany. Jeremiah, you can go to work. I can get mine. I can take care of mine. This is going to be, they coming in on my token now. I can see God for my own self now. I see the change in my own life. You know, I don't need my body to be made young for me to know that God's been moving on this body. We can look back on the last week on how God has moved on this body. I can look back on the last 2 months on how God moved on this body. I can look at it. We can look at the whole year and see how God has moved on this body. You know, before 2023, you might have laughed in your heart when they said, oh, you're going to be one of the ministers that get up on Wednesday night. You're not laughing in your heart now. You can see that it's possible. You see that God has changed your very life. Oh, my. Do you see how late of an hour it is, brothers and sisters? Oh, my. Let's read that scripture and continue on with this. But, yeah, I was just looking at that. I thought, my goodness, even Sarah had to say God is real. Everything changed. Well, let's read this scripture. Pastor Moore read it. It's a familiar scripture, but it means more now. Wow. Then this Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They were that foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Both groups. See, because, you know, sometimes we go, oh, the wise were just waiting up. The wise were just sitting there waiting. No, all slept. All of, nobody knew when the bride was coming. Nobody knew when the bridegroom was coming. So they just rested. They all waited. Oh, not knowing. And at midnight, there was a cry made. That means it's a new day. When you hear the cry, that's a new day. That cry came at midnight. That cry came to signify that he's coming. Not that he's on his way. He's been on his way the whole time. Then they were sleeping. He was coming that whole time, but he's on his way now. Now they can almost see him. They said, "The bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Oh. Now all were available to go meet him. They all could go see him. All 10 were allowed to go. Then those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." No more light. No light. But the wise answer, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the opposite direction, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Oh my. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord." Now they could see. They had oil at that time. "Lord, Lord." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country." It goes on more for that. But I looked at that and I go, you know, all this time, you know, even growing up in this thing, we look at that story, and it was a lot of focus went on to the foolish virgins. A lot of the focus was those five foolish virgins, and we would type it out and go, "Those are the foolish virgins. They'll eventually come in," and this, that, and the other thing. But it's like, you know, it's so late of an hour, I don't really care about the other groups no more. I really don't. You know, I appreciate what Brother Jeremiah did to show me, illustrate the timeline when he went through the different Elijahs and those different things. But I thank God that I don't have to see that fifth Elijah. You know, because Elijah's, his coming is five times, but the fifth one is when he comes with Moses, and he's coming to talk to those 144,000. And to show that the world has a glimpse of this thing, the Jehovah Witness know that there's going to be 144,000. They believe that there are going to be some of them, but even the people that go around in the United States can know, like, they're probably not one of the 144,000. Because they read enough in the scripture to realize, like, geographically, this is not where he's coming back. But eventually, we would all, you know, so they got parts of it. They see it in parts. I don't see this thing in parts. God doesn't have half-revealed secrets to me. This is not a code that I'm still trying to decipher. I'm not trying to figure out what A means or B means or a variable means. He clearly lets me know what the timeline is, who I am, where I am in the Bible. And I even love how even Brother Jeremiah, you illustrated that point, talking about Joseph and Benjamin. And I thought, my goodness, does everything just run in the Bible? Is everything just run so perfectly? And I thought, now I almost felt bad for the guy that was like, "Oh, I love Joseph. I love his stories. Tell me where that scripture is that says Joseph put his wife away." I was like, who cares about where he put his wife? Talk about what he did with Benjamin. Let's talk about some things that you can read in there. And say, you don't have to assume things, but it does say that Joseph sent everybody away, including his wife. That means everybody. He said, "Let every man depart from me." That's everybody. So the kingdom was empty. That room was bare. But that's okay. You don't have to see that. But when I see that Joseph wanted his blood brother, to be there, the only one that didn't sell him out. Oh, all these types, all these things run together so much. And you go, well, Brother Jay, what does that have to do with this? I'm thankful that I know it. Amen. That's what it has to do with it. I'm thankful that I understand that there's ages. I'm grateful that I understand what happened in each age. And if you don't realize all that happened in each age, that's fine. You're not required to. God will reveal these things to you in your due time. But what you really need to understand is that there were seven ages. That there are a time period where God was gathering believers. There was a time period where there was salvation going on. There was a time period where justification was going on. There was a time period where, like, the gifts were going on, and those were the evidence. Those were different time periods. But now the time period has changed. The requirements change. The evidence change. What you have to do to show that you have the light is different.
Yeah. Amen.
You can't be here with that old oil. You ran out. You need to have something that's for today.
Amen.
And I looked at that and I said, Lord, Lord, Lord. You know, and we've always been prepared. God has always made sure the bride was prepared. You know, even in, even that scripture that Paul over in Acts, when he said, you know, before I even depart from you, grievous wolves are trying to enter in. But let this be a warning that I've been telling you about it. That you can go back and remember that I've already warned you to be ready. Oh, this bride has been ready. This whole time we've been ready. Then you talk about being grateful and been thankful for what God has done for me. I thank God for it. Because, you know, Pastor Moore, you read that scripture. You talk about that quote where it says, you know, this world, we got the best weather, the best meteorologists. People can see all these things out there. And I thought, my goodness. And then you kind of went over that quote, but I'm going to read that today. You went over that quote over in The Uniting in the Sun. It's a great quote. Paragraph 134 for those that are in the studies on this. This is Brother Branham. You know, I love this because we're no longer waiting for midnight. Oh, my. My. I just. Yeah. Could you imagine the people even that were there when Brother Branham said, you know, second pool's ended? Everybody had so much stock in that. So much invested in it. And they're like, well, where are we going? What's the third pool? What does that mean? Then we sit here and we go, the midnight cry has happened. Because you were waiting for the midnight cry. And even over in one of the quotes, Brother Branham says, you know, the scientists can probably tell that we're probably 3 minutes till midnight. That was in the 60s. But we realized Sunday that the midnight cry has been going on. And I thought, my goodness. I mean, and you know, I know a lot of people get into, you know, types and forms and all these terminologies got to be right. But if it's 12:01, that's the new day. It doesn't have to be 4 o'clock the next afternoon. 12:01 is now that new day. Amen. So you can be like, well, Brother Jay, it's not that far into the, I don't care. It can still be dark to the rest of the world for all I care. At 12:01, it is dark at night. Amen. It can be dark for them for all I care, but it's still a new day. Amen. You know, it's still the new day. You know, I thought about that. I go, man, you know, when you realize that it's a new day, it doesn't matter what anybody else says to you. I know what day I'm in. I know what time it is. Oh, my. Let's read this quote real quick. This Brother Branham, The Uniting Time and Signs. He says, that's right. Let's get ready for this midnight cry. It's coming in an hour when you think not. See, this Brother Branham. There'll be a cry not amongst the unbelieving world. Here's the thing. I mean, we had all these things. So we had our own traditions on so many of these things that they're just falling away that I'm just so grateful that God is. You know, when God reveals something, the manifestation of it, now there's no more questions to it. You know, it is what it, when he said Jesus would be born in a manger, he was born in a manger. And even when you think about the signs of the times then, the stars had to line up. These things had to line up. That lined up then for Jesus' first coming. The signs have lined up now for the second. That they're lined up. Everything's in its right place. Oh, my. There'll be a cry. Not amongst the unbelieving world. Even the people that saw the signs that Jesus was coming didn't know where he was. Had been revealed. And you think about those wise men that came looking for him. They went to the Pharaoh and said, where is he at? You know, we want to see him. This is after the guy had already killed all the kids. He had killed all the kids, and those wise men came in and said, but where's Jesus at? Now, on one side of it, you could have been like, ain't no Jesus. I've killed him all. I've killed every kid under a certain age. That's a terrible thing. They did that with Moses' time, and Moses floated right up the river, right into the Pharaoh's house. In this situation, he sent people right to the Pharaoh's house to ask where he was at. Both times, God just gets right up in the devil's nostrils. Just to prove a point that there's nothing you can do that's going to stop me. Nothing you can do to stop this plan. He had him raise Moses. He made him raise Moses. They had killed all the kids. That's why, I know y'all know y'all Bible stories, but that's why Moses was sent up the river. It's because they were killing all the babies. So his mom was like, I can't see this happen. I'm going to put him in this little thing and float him up the river. And he was raised by Pharaoh, the guy that was killing all the kids. He raised him. That's who raised. So when God does something, it don't matter about the circumstances. You know, my mom said, you can praise God in the middle of the storm. That's because I don't feel the rain. No, I didn't feel the rain either. I can praise him in the middle of the storm. He's always taken care of me. He's always sheltered me. He's always guarded me. He's always sought out for me. He's always seen before I could even think about it. You know, Brother Mike said, he knew me in my mother's womb. That's how even how David said it. He knows my thoughts. Even my thoughts are far off. He knew my members before they were even formed. Oh, my, the scriptures just run. And they just get me so excited because I can see it. Oh, I can see it. There was a time when you talk about the end of the world, and I'd be like, oh, no, I don't want to talk about that. I want to be 18. I want to go to college. I want to buy a car, right? Because I had my priorities wrong. I didn't know how real this was. Now I'm like, I don't know if I'll get to see my daughter graduate. But I don't care. I don't know if I'm going to get to eat that turkey tomorrow. I don't care. I don't know if we'll finish the service. I don't care. I'm ready to get out of here. These things line up so much and I can see it. Amen. Anyway, let's keep reading this quote. Amen. It says, there'll be a cry not amongst the unbelieving world. It'll be a secret. But the believers who are looking for this, you see, the stars coming in line. See, what did it produce? Just exactly as it did the first time. See here, there are the signs. And Brother Bram starts talking about some of the signs. We just see the signs appearing of his blessing coming. Lo, behold, the fig leaves now becoming green. The gospel of the kingdom has gone to every nation. We talked about that. The word has been preached all over the world. That's done. That's a sign that's done. And we're near the end can be seen. Then gladly away we'll herald the message. Is that right? His blessed appearing. That's it. That midnight cry has happened. We're dealing with it right now. Like, the cry is, and it's one of those things. It's like, it's a revelation to you. And I could see, you know, I was going back looking at the services, and I could see why the church just kind of had a pause there. You know, Pastor Moore, he was like, the midnight cry has already happened. And we're just like, wait, what? When? It's going on right now. That cry is going on. Right. Saying, let's go. Go meet the bridegroom. Amen. That's why we say the rapture's going to go. It doesn't have to come here. It's going on right now. Amen. The rapture is taking place right now. The bride has made herself ready. Our lamps are trimmed. We're ready to go. We got light. We got enough oil for the journey. We're ready to get out of here. And the rest of the world doesn't even know that the going away is taking place. They're still thinking, oh, when the rapture happens, the sky is going to do this. Planes are going to fall out of the sky. Then buildings are going to do this. And cars are going to be driving without a person and fall out the road. They got it all wrong. You know what? And you know, we go, oh, no, they can't be that wrong. Yes, they can. They were that wrong about Jesus. Amen. They had the same thought that was going to happen when Jesus came. That's why the Pharaoh was actually, you know what? If he knew that Jesus was going to be as lowly as he was, he wouldn't have even bothered. He wouldn't have been worried about him. But the prophecy said he's going to be the king of the Jews. So the Pharaoh's like, well, I can't have him raise up and take my people. He didn't even know how that was going to happen. He thought he was going to be king of the Jews and come in a big chariot, fire armies and do this and take over. That wasn't even what God wanted to do. That wasn't, he didn't care about any of these natural affections, these natural things. Oh, my. Amen. They had that wrong too. They thought Jesus was coming with a battle cry, an army and all these things. That didn't happen. He was born in a manger. Amen. The lowest as you can get. I mean, that's low. You know, right now we have doulas that have births at home, but that's still with running water. Heat, lights, real blankets. Ted's got animals, and there's no way. Because I don't know too much about animals like that. Out in the barn, I wouldn't even want to eat in there. Right? Like, if we had some pizza out there at the Brady's, I wouldn't want to go sit by the goats and eat it. Like, I'd be like, forget it. Don't worry about it. It's not, this is just dirty. And to have a baby, I'm just telling you, like, that's as low as it gets. Yeah, that's not a sterile condition. That's not gloves. That's not all these ideas that we put on things that God's got to do. You know, we got, oh, God's got to do this to make this right. God's got to do, he ain't got to do none of that. He can just say, let it be. And it is. That's it. He can do that on any problem. I've seen him do it on every situation. God can just say, let it be. And it is. You think about even in the Bible, when he said, let there be light, it was just darkness. And he said, let there be. And then it was. Let that be on your whole life. Yes. Don't go out of here anymore in any kind of darkness. Just let it be. Amen. That same revelation that came to us on Sunday that told us that the midnight cry has happened, there was nothing you had to work up. Right. There was nothing you studied up. Nobody knew that Pastor Moore was preaching that on Sunday morning. Nobody had access to know what God was going to say that morning. And you had nothing to do but sit there and let it be. And that revelation just came on you and said, yes, we're taking another step. Let's get out of here. It can be any second now. Oh, my. I know Brother Childers would have been, is loving to hear that message. Because we would buck him every year around this time. When we leaving? Is this the time? I don't see it lining up yet, brothers and sisters. Why? He knew what the signs were supposed to be. Brother Childers was the chief meteorologist. He saw that the sky wasn't red yet. He saw it wasn't lowering the clouds enough. He said, it ain't going to rain yet. Let's wait a little bit. I don't see it happening this whole year. That's what he would say. He'd say, I don't see it happen this year. Why? Because he could see the signs. Now, Brother Childers, we wouldn't even have to ask you. We know it can happen at any moment. You ain't even got to finish your plate of chicken, Brother Childers. It can happen tonight. That's how real it is. But that's progress, saints. See, don't shortchange your progress. Sometimes you need to take a second, you know, even like Thanksgiving. It's a moment where you reflect on all the blessings. It just gives you a chance to just reflect on what God has already brought you through. You know, I've got natural things that I can look at and go, okay, I was weak here, but now I'm stronger. I'm this and that. You know, dealing with rehab and all that kind of stuff. Sister Sway knows what I'm talking about. Brother John knows what I'm saying. Anybody that's went through rehab, you know what that is. Sister Mel, I know you're listening in. She had to deal with her knee. Those kind of things, you had to go through rehab. And you got to push through uncomfortable situations. But there's something that you know, they even say, like, either when you're in the Army or if you've been a prisoner, either one, you got a couple days and a wake up. That means if you know, if you're going through a trial or something, if you know when it's going to be over, then you just start counting down. Right? When I was in basic training, you know, in the beginning, it's like, oh, when is it going to be over? This is so long. It's so hard. But once you get past a certain threshold, you start going, well, it's only 20 days in a wake up, 19 days in a wake up. And then it gets down in the single digits, and you're like, I could do this standing on my head. They could be as mean as they want to me. They only got 24 more hours. They only got 6 more hours. My family's coming to see me. They've already given me the notification. I already know who's coming to see me. They're coming to see my graduation when this is over. Be as mean as you want. Don't feed me today. Don't do that. It don't matter. I know I'm about to get out of here. We got 2 minutes in the wake up, bride. We're not 3 minutes to midnight now. Midnight's cry's already happened. It's time to wake up. It's time to get ready to move. It's time to get out of here and go see our loved ones. That's what we should be thankful for. Let's thank God for the progress that we know who our loved ones are, that we know who we're getting up, that we know when they're getting up. There was a time period you didn't even know when they were getting up. You didn't know who was getting up. You didn't know what order they were getting up. You didn't even know if you were going to be one of them. Let's go back to them.
Come on.
Let's go back to them when you were so insecure in your belief that you didn't know you were one of them.
Amen.
We're so secure now that not only am I one of them, I know I'm tied to a body. I know I'm getting them up. I understand. I even understand the voices. I understand how the prophecies go together. And I understand they, without me, cannot even be made perfect.
Amen.
Woo! That's progress. That's progress. Don't take it for granted that you know where you're at now. Don't take it for granted that you know what hour it is now.
Amen.
This is something to be excited about.
Amen.
Oh, mama. You ain't got to pull me too hard to talk about what I'm thankful for. Just give me the mic. I'm going to let it go. Why? Because I know what God's done for me. Oh, I'm kind of like Sister Spears now. If you could see where he's brought me from. Woo! To where I am today. Hold my mule. Hold my mule. Because, see, a lot of people want to put that on physical stuff, and we can. I can go any direction you want to go with it. Physically, he's blessed me with the best friends you could ever get. Physically, he's blessed me with the best leadership you could ever get. You know, when you got good leadership, there's no price on that. No price tag on good leadership. Companies would pay out of the wazoo for good leaders. If they see a good leader at another company, they'll say, we'll double your salary. Bring that same leadership over here. We just want a good leader, because not only can you not get good workers in this hour, you can't find a leader. Because to get a leader, you need somebody needs to be a worker first. We understand how that works. You can't even lead unless you're a good follower. These people are not even willing to follow. So there's no telling you're going to get no leaders. And that's how we got less and less every generation. Less and less and less. Pastor Moore even said it right. We're just picking through the garbage now for our leaders. We're like, well, who was the least failed one? That's it. We don't have success. We're not looking at winners, like my mom said. We're not looking for winners. We're just looking for the least, the least, The least failed one. The bottom of the barrel. The top of the bottom is what we say. You're the top of the bottom. That's what you are. And that's what we look at out there. But in here, we got great leadership. We got great elders. You know, you don't even learn respect unless you learn it here. You can't even get it right. Because there's always going to be a slant on it. The world has a slant on it. They have a slant on everything. They have a slant. It's always, what am I going to get out of it? What's in it for me? What? How's this going to benefit me? But when you're tied to the body, it benefits the body. Amen. We go help Sister Christy, that helps the body. That's what I get out of it, is that the body gets helped. Amen. When you came to visit me, you were helping the body. You fed me, you fed the body. I make the whole body stronger. And you make the whole body stronger. I don't get jealous. You know, you ladies, if you get your nails done, the left hand doesn't get jealous because the right hand's doing it. Right hand don't get mad and go, I'm tired of painting these left first. And get mad and start splashing the paint. Happy. Can't wait till you get done. Because when I finish with you, you're going to help me. That's how this thing works. But that's what the revelation that you get in here. That tells you how to tie you into a body. So that way you can understand even what sacrifice is. You can understand what patience is. You can understand what long-suffering is. Because you need these tools to deal with the world. You got to do that. We got to deal with the world. We got things that we got to deal with every day. But I'm thankful that I'm more than able to conquer all that. Amen. See, I don't want to give Satan an inch. I don't want to think he ever had me down. That's right. Wherever I was at, God wanted me there. Amen. That's right. God wanted me there. That's right. Satan, you never had me down. I was fulfilling my duties. Amen. I do all. See, I got too many scriptures. I do all that pleases the Father. Amen. You get me in a hospital, I'm there because I need some people I got to see. Right. I'm blessing people left and right. I'm touching people, and they don't even know how. They've never seen God before. They're like, this is what God looks like. This is what God should sound like. This is what I wish my church sounded like. This is what I wish my preacher sounded like. This is the authority I wish the people that were leading me sounded like. That's how that works. Oh, you mess around and find yourself in prison. The inmates should be able to say, this is what God sounds like. Amen. This is what patience looks like. This is somebody that's taking blame for it. This is somebody that understands what they did. This is somebody that should be able to handle any situation. Amen. Any man they meet. That's right. Right. Oh, my, my, my. Amen. And the thing about it is, no matter what situation you put me in, I know I only got a couple days in the wake up. That's it. It won't be long. I'm not long. I'm not even, a lot of times, because they tie that to Christians, long suffering and those. I ain't got to be long-suffering anymore. I don't have long to be here. I don't have to long-suffer. It's short no matter what. I got short-suffering or short-suffering. It's not going to be long. I'm not going to be here long. I'm getting out of here. This is not even my house. This is not my home. I'm getting out of here. I have nothing to be depressed about. That's a trick of the devil. That is a trick of the devil. Because it's weird because, depression is something, I've had depression before. And you got to get yourself out of it. Because you're the one that got yourself in it. It really is like that. I was at this banquet the other night. And everybody wants to be churchy. So every now and again, they'll reference a scripture or something like that. Everybody. It was a black banquet, just so y'all know. So black people like to be religious, just so you know. That's just going to happen, But the one person was, so they're giving them an award, and me and Miss Courtney are sitting over just laughing to ourselves because they're giving these people awards for worldly achievements, okay? So they're giving them, like, Man of the Year honors, and they're giving them an honor, an achievement for what they did with the world, like how they helped, how they impacted, how they worked. That's a worldly award. And the guy goes, y'all know, we up here celebrating because the world didn't give it, so the world can't take it away. I'm like, well, they did just give you that award. So they can just take it away from you. You can't just, see what happens in the church world, they want to just throw Bible on everything. They just want to just hogwash everything and put, just sound good. Don't just sound good, be good. I am good. I'm good because God makes me good. That's what makes me good. Everybody made me lifted up more than anybody else. I'm just as humble. I go through all the same stuff everybody else goes through. But I got the word of God for my day. I got light in this hour when nobody else has it. I don't got to make up scriptures and make them applicable to me. When you read this Bible, you see me. When you see God, you see me. You have no God without me. I don't have to make up scriptures to make them apply. They already apply. They already apply. Matter of fact, even Jesus said, when you read those scriptures, and them you think you know.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah, you think
you know. Right. But they are those that testify of me.
Amen.
Oh, my. So what I have, yes, the world didn't give it because it's a revelation.
Amen.
God gave me that.
Amen.
And the world can't take it away. I don't care how exalted I get in my work life or how low I get from the valleys to the crevices to the top of the mountain. That doesn't matter at all. I could be unemployed and homeless and still be the best person on this world.
Amen.
I got the revelation for the hour.
Right.
That's all that God's obligated really to give me. When you talk about being thankful, I got all these other benefits.
Amen.
Friends, leadership, a body, a local ministry that I can go to. I mean, there's people that don't even have local ministries.
Right.
You know, there's believers that don't have the ability to go to a local church and get help, get talked to. To not go through things by themselves. They're we think about even like the Earlys. They're out in Florida. They got to listen in. Internet starts messing up over there. It's a bad day. It starts messing up by my house. I'm like, drive faster.
Amen.
Right? We got to hurry up. We're listening to the live stream, but we got to hurry up and get there. Right? That's the difference. That's something to be thankful for.
Amen.
You know, I want to thank God for all my limbs, like Sister Sway said. Because you know, when I was talking about that rehab stuff, you really don't even realize all that you need until something starts getting pulled away.
That's right.
You know, I had this dumb thing on my thumb, and I'm so mad about it because I'm telling you, I'm level with y'all. I used to be pretty vain. See me admitting it. That's the first step to the problem. First step. So I'm at first step one. So I'm not over my vainness yet, but I'm just step one, just telling you, being honest. I'm just working. God's working on me. But I used to not have like pain. I could go through things and not, it wouldn't bother me. I was strong. I was kind of thing. So the other day I cut my thumb and I'm taking these medicines that make your blood thin. So my thumb is just bleeding. I'm like, what in the world is happening here? And I'm like tying it up or whatever. I'm like, why is it still bleeding? What's going on here? So now it's still a little sore or whatever. I'm like, I just cut this thing and it's still sore 3 days later.
Yeah.
Right? That's new to me. I'm just like, what's happening here? Like, I'm thinking about it. Like, why is this thumb sore? Now, part of that's age, right? You get a little older. Things hurting a little bit different. I need to stretch now before I get out of bed. All those kind of things. That's just age. But it's just looking at it, I'm going, you know, you really don't even realize what you have until you lose a little piece of it. So now you go to grab something, let's say like I'm grabbing my phone and you go to do something on your phone, you're like, or you put the Band-Aid on there, now you can't move anything on your phone. Now you're just staring at it and you're like, left hand, I'm gonna need you now. Yeah, I need you, right? But I'm just telling you, we do that even with that stuff, but do it in the body.
Amen.
Let somebody that normally sings, stop singing.
Right.
Let somebody that normally testifies, stop testifying.
Amen.
It hurt. It's missing. You know, I like how even Brother Jeremiah said. He said, I want to be missed when I'm not here.
Amen.
Why? Because I want to be that much a part of the service.
Right. Yeah.
That you know it didn't taste just right because I wasn't here.
Amen.
That's what I want.
Amen.
I want that.
Right.
Why? Because that means when I am here, I'm giving my all.
Amen.
Right? That's the other side of it. Is that when I am here, I give you my all.
Amen.
I give you everything I got. And that's what we all should do. Sister Elise said it best. You better bring it when you come in here.
Yeah.
Why? Because this is a golden opportunity.
Yeah.
This is a day and hour that nobody else got to live in where they knew when the end was coming.
Amen.
They knew when they laid their head down the bed that they were going to be okay.
Amen.
Oh, those are some blessings.
Amen.
Those are some blessings.
Amen.
Not many people, excuse me, get it like we have it.
Right.
I mean, you've got, and I know I say this, but you've got the best of the best of everything. Every category, you've got the best. We got the best deacons you could ever ask for. Thank God for that. I mean, that sets the pace when you come in here. That even keeps you in line when you're sitting in church, not paying attention, you're playing around. They come and give you a little pop. That helps you get back in line. That's like the little things on the road. Don't get mad at those things on the road when they start. Wah, 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 wah. Why? Hey, you need to get back in the center of the road. You had it for danger, bub. You had it for a problem. Let me get you back centered, and then everything's quiet again. They sit right back down. You don't even know they're in there. If you've been a good boy, you don't even know we have deacons. You don't. But come in here in your hat, all backwards and some shorts. I guarantee you know we have some deacons. Start trying to talk to your friend beside you. Guarantee you know we have deacons. Try to get up here and interrupt service. You'll see a lot of deacons.
Yeah.
All right, I might throw one in there too, just in case. Just cause. But I'm just saying, we got the best of everything.
Amen.
We got the best elders that know. You know, we don't just have old people, right? That's something I don't like. There's a difference between somebody just being old and somebody being an elder. Somebody being old, they went through nothing. They avoid people, don't have no good advice, don't have nothing to share with you, just negative and old. I need somebody who's been through some experience that's going to tell me so I don't have to go through them. Keep my joy restored. Keep me from going off the road. Keep me in line. Help me out. Make this walk a little bit easier for me. That's what I love about it. We got the best young people. I mean, we got some people that love God, that can stir up a whole church. A brother can just say, I just need a reset. And I need a reset. That'll start me all over again. That restore that joy. I feel like I just got the new birth.
Amen.
Oh, my. You see the young sisters, too, after all that stuff they got to go through? Yep. Now, I'm a brother, and I know what brothers have to go through.
Amen.
And I have a daughter.
Right.
So I know just a glimpse of what those girls got to go through. And I think it's hard. I think it's 10 times harder. It's harder. Because they got to deal with all the boys and all the stuff that they're going through.
Right.
And then they have their own issues. See, boys just got to deal with their own issues. But the girls got to deal with their issues and your issues.
Amen.
Right? And that's rough.
Amen.
But to go through that and come here. Hold your head up.
Amen.
Come on Sunday. Come on Wednesday. Be attentive on Sunday night. Get out of my face.
Amen.
Get out of my face. We got the best of the best in every category. Get out of my eye. You don't even know what God looks like. You wouldn't know what God sounds like if he was talking to you face to face. Because if you don't see God in that, get out of here. Get out of here. You can't even sit in here. Oh, my. We can brag on that ministry, too. Woo. That stays right lockstep in harmony with what God wants. When God makes a move, the ministry's Where you at? I'm right there. Where you want? Where you want me to shoot? What do you want me to do? Right there. Right there, lockstep. There's churches that have one minister, one pastor, and they're still not in lockstep.
Amen. I know you're right.
We can have everybody in here preaching and be in lockstep. Come on now. That's some God in there. God's got to be in there. Why? Because he has his fellowship and in one accord.
Amen.
One mind, one accord. That's the evidence that you know God's there.
Amen.
We can go to churches with one pastor and all the people have a different mind. They're like, how did that happen? They don't even preach. And they got all different testimonies. They all got different thinking, different this, different that. And you think, what kind of church is this? Is this a Baptist, Catholic, Apostolic? Why are you guys all out here separate? And here, you're talking to believers that are waiting and watching for the sign to get out of here. All with one mind, one job to do, one accord. Be thankful for that. You know, so I was looking at this, Pastor Moore, and I thought, my goodness, that midnight cry. Woo. There's so much in there. But the biggest thing is that it's going on. That we've been waiting all this time. We waited. We built our lives around this. We built our lives around this. Like, we built all of our lives around getting out of here. And God's like, it's time to go. It's time to go. Let's get out of here. You don't even got to get ready. You woke up ready. You woke up with the light. When you were born again, you woke up with the light. You woke up to the revelation that you had the light of the hour. And that was enough to get you out of here.
Amen.
Oh, my saints, we're almost home now. Now I can see why Brother Tudor said I can make it stand on my head. He knew when the end was coming. Now we can say the same thing. I can make it stand on my head. I know the end is coming. Oh, bride, we're just waking up now. Waking up to the fact that it's time to go. See, we say these things, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. There's got to come a time where you go. We're going now. You're telling me these steps, these are big steps. These steps are getting more and more, they're getting bigger and bigger. You know, I don't do a lot of construction stuff, but steps have a certain measurement. And if they're off just a little bit, you'll feel it. Because you know the measurements yourself, just in your head. Your body automatically knows how deep a step should be. Just automatic. It's weird because you've been walking steps your whole life. So if your contractor makes the steps like too low or too high, you'll feel it automatically. You'll be like, whoa. And it'll be a trip hazard. You can see the steps, how big they are, but because they're not the right size, it's a trip hazard because it's all off. The steps right now lined up just perfect.
Amen.
Ain't nothing off. I'm not taking too big of a step, too small of a step. I'm just stepping my way out of here. You talk about building my way out of here. I'm on that last rung now. I'm ready to get out of here. Pastor Moore, you read the quote? You read the scriptures and those things? Brother Branham said, I don't see one scripture. There's not one scripture left to fulfill. Not one. Not one scripture left to fulfill for the bride. See, because there's other scriptures that are left to fulfill. But not for the bride. I know my job title. I'm the bride. I'm getting out of here. I'm not worried about the tribulation. You can talk about it all you want to. Tell me the meal kits that you're going to buy. Tell me what tunnel you're going to live in. Tell me how you're going to save your money. Tell me how you're going to do all these things. That's great that you're preparing for that. But I'm preparing for a marriage supper. I'm preparing for a wedding supper to get out of here. I'm not going through the tribulation. That doesn't even apply to me. I won't even be here when that goes on. And you go, oh, well, Brother Jay, this may happen. That may happen. Line it up all you want to. South California could sink while I'm still sitting here. I know I'm not going through the tribulation. See, because what will happen is things will get bad, and for the unbeliever, they'll go, well, I can't wait no more. Mm-hmm. You got to go. Got to step off of this boat. Yeah. But I don't care how bad it gets. I know I'm not going through tribulation. Amen. You already promised me that. Amen. See, there's people that got off the boat when Israel started fighting. Right. There's people that got off the boat when Brother Branham passed away, right, didn't come back. Right. There's people that got off the boat when Brother Childers passed away, right, and didn't come back. Right. I'm not getting off the boat. No. I'm sitting here waiting. I'm praising God, and I'm waiting. I know I'm going to my tribulation. I know I'm not going to the tribulation. I'm getting out of here. Amen. See, you talk about that and go, yeah, there's people that they get tired of waiting on God. Right. Not me. I don't feel no ways tired. Amen. You know, I love that song. I said, I've been running for Jesus a long time. You know, Luke was running in the church, came running to the door. I thought, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I ain't tired yet. I ain't tired yet. Yeah, I've been running for years on this thing. I ain't tired. Matter of fact, I get more endurance. Yeah. The longer I run, the more I want to run. I've been running. I'm like, 1 mile, no sweat. 2 miles, too easy. Like, this is, it's getting easier for me. I'm warmed up now. Now I'm like, Satan, what you want to do? I'm warmed up now. Oh, my, my, my. And last thing I'll testify, this is my little testimony. I'm going to get out of here. I got this little great book thing. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but since I've been back from the hospital, I don't carry my Bible a lot. I carry just a pad or something like that. But this pad I had with me when I was in the hospital. And I was putting some notes in there. And when I was coming out of there, I couldn't write. So there was this time I was so mad and I was trying to write and I couldn't make letters. Like, it was just, my hands were shaking, all this medication they give you or whatever. And I was like, man, I cannot write. I can't write. I can't write. And so after I got out of the hospital, I really kind of didn't look at this book that much. And today I couldn't find my pad. And I was like, oh, I need a pad of paper. And I found this. And I was like, oh, I haven't used that since I was in the hospital trying to write. And I looked through there and I saw pages where I was trying to write my ABCs, just practicing. Just because I was like, I got to write. That's one vein. I have really good handwriting. I wanted to keep it. And I was like, I got to write. And I was practicing. So when I was getting stuff together for church, I saw like where I was writing my ABCs. And then today I was writing my whole service. And I thought, progress. Progress. You can't make me doubt him. No. You can't. I know too much. Yeah. I know. I've seen too much. You can't make me doubt him in the natural. You can't make me doubt him in the spiritual. You can't make me doubt him on any level. I trust God wholly, because I've already seen, just on the small stuff, I've seen what he can do on there. So I know he didn't bring me this far to leave me. Oh, and I look at that and I go, thank God. I'm thankful that I got another opportunity. I'm thankful for another service. I'm thankful that I'm living in the light. I thank God for this. I'm glad I don't have to work this up. I don't got to read 1,100 message books to know what I got. That never helped me anyway. You can read all the Brother Branham's books you want. There is churches that play Brother Branham's service every service, and they're not one step closer to God than they were in 63. Not one step closer. So reading it, hearing it, that don't help. You got to have somebody that's going to turn on the lights. And I thank God that to be God, you got to meet a man of God. And I thank God we've all ran into a man of God. Somebody that could turn on the lights. God bless you, Pastor Moore.
Don't feel no waste time. Come too far from where I started from. Amen. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. I don't feel no waste time. I come this far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. I don't feel no waste time. I don't feel no waste time. I come this far, far from where I started from. The road would be, well, I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. I don't feel no waste time. I don't feel no waste time. I come this far, come too far from where I started from. That the road would be, well, I don't believe. Oh, I don't believe. Yes, I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Amen. You may be seated for a minute. I don't feel tired. You know, this bride is moving. I know when I got here, when I was getting ready on Saturday with Sunday morning's message, I knew it was going to be a little bit different. I knew that Saturday. And then I came and I preached it Sunday. And even at the end of service, I think I asked a couple of people. I said, y'all okay? I would call it a holy hush. At the end of service, I don't know if anybody saw. I might have just caught up. But it's like everybody stood up, but nobody was almost saying anything. And I'm thinking, y'all okay? And I went home and I listened to the service again because I thought, did I mess things up? They ready to vote me out. I said, have I lost my ever-loving mind? But I listened and I said, no, I'm right. I'm right. The thing is that the whole body is like, oh, we've been waiting for the bus and it's been sitting here. But the thing of it is that I love about it is that when God moves and he finally takes the veil off of your eyes. Right. And when you see it for the first time, the first thing you think is, what in the world was I thinking? What was I thinking? Because it's our tradition. I told y'all, I said, until God reveals something to you, all you have is your own tradition to fill in the blanks with. But then when he comes with a revelation, it tears down all your tradition. And it fills with revelation. And once you see a revelation, everything else dovetails right in there with it. And it's like I look at all the quotes and I listen to Brother Branham's messages and I look at all the scriptures. And when I hear what I'm hearing, I'm seeing that it can't be anything but the hour that we're living in. Oh, I love the way Brother Jeremiah tied that in there Sunday. At midnight, there's a new day. And that tied in the seventh day ending. That tied in a bride going into the eighth day. That tied in why we're not in the same day that the church world is in. It tied Everything else just tied in there together. So now I'm looking around, I'm like, Lord, have mercy. I feel like that I'm just getting started. It's like I never, you know, Brother Brum said, like the Bible's a new Bible.
Yes.
And the funny thing about it, this doesn't make us anything special other than the bride of Jesus Christ. It's just God revealing his word. Brother Branham said, God reveals his word by bringing it to pass.
That's right.
And we sit here and we'll sit in the middle of his word. Yeah. And then Brother Don said Sunday, he told me, he said, God always does it, then he reveals it.
Right.
What he's already done. That's what he's done down through the ages. He built the church and then he turned around and shows what he's already done.
Right.
The rapture's not going to be something that we're going to see coming. We'll have our ideas. We'll figure out what we think the bus looks like till it pulls around the corner. Then we're like, oh. And we've been sitting up here waiting on the rapture. And I know we said he's come. All these pieces have always been there, but we've never put them together. And it takes the Spirit of God to do that. And when he does it, you'll never be the same again. I'll never look at the scriptures the same. I'll never look at the hour that we're living in the same. I'll never again think that we've got a long ways to go. And even if it goes after I'm dead and gone, I'm not worried because I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
I'll change dimension, but I'll be here because we're all here. We just can't see them right now. He come and he brought his reward with him. Oh, and now all of it just makes so much more sense now. And I appreciate it. I love it, Jay. I enjoyed your message. And we're just hammering at it. We're just hammering at it now. And, you know, Jay and Jeremiah, I know Jeremiah's chewing at the bit because, you know, he don't like me to go make a turn. So I know him. Waiting in the wings. But it's perfect. It ties so perfectly. You say, well, is it something new? No. Does it make you all different and special? No. It's just God taking another step, moving us forward. Don said Sunday, he told me Sunday, he said, this started two weeks ago. And it did. When we sat here and got right in the middle of the service, said, shout's already done.
Right.
And I'm like, wait a minute. What do you mean the shout's already done? I had the quotes right there before me. I couldn't even argue with the quotes because the quotes were saying the shout's done. He said, he does all three and it's coming. Is he here or not? You know, so I couldn't even argue with him because it's like, you're right. And from there, then last Sunday's message showing that, you know, the cry at the midnight hour, and we've been in our tradition having 3 minutes to midnight. How long are we going to be 3 minutes to midnight?
Come on. Come on.
We've been 3 minutes to midnight for 60 years. We thought. But actually, we've been past midnight for 60 years. And God's got us, my goodness. And all it does, it just helps me to love him more, helps me to appreciate him more, helps me to really shake myself. And it makes me, like you said, Jay, I can make a stand on my head now. I'm trying to prove nothing. I'm not trying to build nothing. I'm not trying to, you know, get a name out there. I'm so glad I don't need a name out there because, you know, I don't need them to know me. I need God to know me. And as God deals with us here at 1744 Superior Avenue, if the rest of the world hears it, that's fine. If they don't, they'll get it. However, the same way we did it. You know, God's a big God, and he'll reveal it to them just like he reveals it to us. And so I'm so settled with that. So, amen. Jay, I enjoyed that, brother. You got something, sis?
Never had the chance to be one of those lepers that came back. Because typically when something happens, I don't realize it. But I my husband was going to give me the option to stay home and watch online tonight because he knows I'm tired and I haven't been feeling well. I was having a really bad headache. And I said, no, I have to go to church tonight. And I knew it was going to be a fantastic day to come here. And I knew that if I pushed, that even if my headache didn't go away, which it did, thank you, brother, you allowed God to come through you into me to help me with my headache. But even if my headache kept getting worse, I was going to stay up under the word in the house of the Lord. Amen. And I want to give God thanks because he touched me. And he didn't have to touch me, and I would have stayed here anyways. And I just want to be grateful. Amen.
He's a real God, and he still heals. He still touches. He still satisfies. And he's still touching and deals with the body. Hey there.
I know it's been a long time, about a decade, and it's been a decade of nonsense. I'm glad to be back here, back home. I was praying, and even my therapist was like, you know, you're praying and you're finally seeing it, but it was already being shown to you that you just need to go back to where your base is, just here. And I know Alicia, I guess, already said it, but young people, please don't. It almost brings me to tears. Please don't go out there.
Amen.
Looking for answers, because this is where it is.
This is where it is.
This is your home. This is where people will love you and protect you. And I'm just really glad to be here. And like even Sister Sandra, she said they'll talk you out of saying something. I know two Wednesdays ago I came finally back, mm-hmm. and they were like, in my head I was hearing, you know, don't be clapping now. Don't sing too loud now.
Yeah, don't do too much.
you just got back, girl. Relax. But you know what? I'm in it, and I'm just glad to be back. And thank you, Pastor Moore, for everything. You've been a great leader, and I really appreciate you.
Amen.
You done all grown up on me.
Amen. And like I always say, I don't even ask people where they've been. We're just glad to see you home. You know, it's just like, God, I come back and tell this and tell that. You don't have to say nothing. Just get in and say, kick your shoes off, put your feet up. You're home. Good to have you back home. Amen. And so in the hour that we're living in, God's warning the young people, hey, you know, this is it. It ain't out there. And the best thing you've got going on is right here. And so take advantage of it. Fall in love with it. Let it have your life. Let it be more than just a brand or a move. Let it become a life. And when it becomes your life, you don't even know how good of a life you're going to have. You say, but I might have problems. We all have problems. But the thing is, we have answers. The world has problems just like us, but they don't have answers. We have answers. And so I'd rather go somewhere where there's answers than to be groping in darkness out here trying to figure it out for myself. Now, tomorrow's Thanksgiving Day. You all have a happy Thanksgiving. Don't let it get the best of you. Make it back here for Sunday morning service. And then we'll be having Bible study Sunday night. Y'all snuck this Wednesday night in on me. Y'all, everybody here but me knew that I canceled Wednesday night service before Thanksgiving. I've done it for years. And nobody said a word. Nobody said a word until I got back in the back room eating dinner. And they're like, Kevin's like, so, you having services Wednesday? I'm like, oh man, I forgot to cancel the service. So I know I could have sent a message out and did it that way, but no, I thought, no, let's just have church. We'll have enough time to spend at home for the next couple of days. But tonight was worth it. Amen, Brother Jay. We're blessed. Amen. So come back Sunday. I guess this will be my last Sunday before we leave town, Jeremiah, right? Because we leave a week from Friday. So you pray for our trip that's coming up. And Jay will have it while we're gone. I'm sure he can handle it. We've got the best preachers. We really do. I got two guys that, and see, it's unusual that you have ministers that are behind you 100%. It is, and it's a rare thing, but it's the way we've been brought up.
Yes. Amen.
Thank God, Brother Childers taught me right. Then I turn around and taught them right. And so that's why we don't fuss and fight, and we get together, we'll talk about scriptures, we'll discuss things and have a good old time. And it's not like the ministers' meetings where everybody's coming with these weird doctrines and trying to figure it out. We know what it is. So I thank God for my ministers. I thank God for my elders. I thank God for my deacons, my trustees, and the body. We got a couple more services before the year's up, so take advantage of it, and we will see you, Lord willing, on Sunday morning. I keep falling in love with him. Just when I think I love him more than I could ever love him, he turns around and does something else, and I'm like, Lord, I love you. Amen. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. For he gets sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I.